Ignite your potential and fuel your fire within. I am Ryan Stevens, and I'm here to help you own your spark with the Catalyzing Podcast. Let's do this. How's it going, fellow catalysts? Today on this episode of the Catalyzing Podcast, we're going to talk about leveraging a collaborative work team to enhance your marketing and PR. This is not just about marketing and PR. This is more so about how can we demonstrate and leverage the value and the gifts and the approaches of our entire team, of everyone, to improve the presence, improve the awareness of what we do as an organization, to get everybody engaged at a level that they wish to be engaged at. And we're going to be talking about this with Desiree Halleck. She is the Chief Queen Bee, the founder of Clariant Services. She's going to join us today. We're going to talk about her background and what drives her passion to help, and how a unified, consistent messaging approach based on your company vision, mission, and values, it allows for more effective branding and marketing. We're also going to talk about the concept of raving fans, why having internal raving fans leads to more external raving fans, and how can you empower that and facilitate that? And lastly, how can we get our entire teams involved collaboratively in these marketing and PR initiatives? That way, there's a shared mission, there's a shared journey, and a feeling of being a part of something special that people can get bought into. So we're going to talk about that stuff. Let's talk about Desiree. She's a proud mother of two great kids, Claire and Anthony, hence the name Clariant for her business. She was born and raised in Vancouver, Canada, and lives here now in New Jersey with her family, including her dog, chickens, and honeybees. She's a marketing and messaging expert and the founder and chief queen bee of Clariant Services, LLC, a business she's grown from the ground up. And she just loves to connect with her clientele. She shares a deep connection with them. Many times they become friends. And this is just driven through her mantra of work hard, play hard, and have a balanced life. You can get more information about Desiree in the show notes below at her website. You can also connect with her on LinkedIn to learn more about her background and learn a lot of great stuff. So that's Desiree. That's the background we're talking about today, leveraging a collaborative work team to enhance marketing and PR. Before we get into that conversation, a quick note from our episode sponsor. Leaders face challenges with team dynamics in a rapidly changing healthcare, wellness, fitness, and sports business landscape. This hinders collaboration and impacts the service you provide. As a coach, I guide teams to enhance positive team dynamics, shared leadership, and a fulfilling workplace culture. Just imagine improved morale, trust, effective communication, enhanced collaboration, and continuous learning leading to retention, growth, and service excellence. Ignite your potential. Fuel your fire within. Catalyzing Coaching and Consulting is your guide to creating an awesome team. So let's talk. Contact me at www.catalyzingats.com. You can find more information there. And let's set up your free discovery session. Catch the spark and own your spark. Welcome back to the next episode of the Catalyzing Podcast. And I have got the Chief Queen Bee herself, founder of Clariant Services, Desiree Halleck. Desiree, it's so great to have you on the show today. I met Desiree recently. She lives here locally in what we call Central New Jersey. Do you buy into the Central New Jersey moniker? Or?
Yeah, I never know where I'm from. I'm like, I don't know if I'm north. I guess I'm in the middle somewhere.
Well, you know, we'll talk about Canada, you know, so like, you know, you've been all over the place, but I've recently been able to engage and connect with her and just absolutely love her approach to helping businesses frame their messaging, get the word out for what they do, and be unified in that. And I think it's so important across healthcare, wellness, fitness, sports organizations. You know, we don't always think about the marketing aspect of it. When you're thinking about patient care, when you think about fitness services, or you're thinking about sports or athletics, you always kind of think about that end product. But organizations have to make money, and they have to have their team members bought into that brand image and whatnot. So that's why I wanted to bring you in for those listening just to talk about that stuff. And we're going to talk about a few cool things today. But before we get into anything, just a little bit of introduction. You've got a great background and a great story. What led to drive your passion to launch Clariant? What different aspects of your career has really been the catalyst for you to do what you're doing now?
Great question. Thank you for having me first, Ryan. It's a pleasure meeting you at the chamber and And now being on your podcast, and hopefully you'll be on ours one day. So
that's right.
Yeah. So my background is very interesting, not planned, and just a winding road, if you will. So I started my college career as in marketing, actually. I don't even know if you knew that. But I took a, I was taking a consumer behavior course once in college, and it really made me so interested in the psychology behind consumerism and why do we make the buying decisions that we make. And that led me into brain and behavior and neuroscience. And all of a sudden I became a neuroscientist. So it kind of, it really shifted me. I was doing business development and marketing as a job to put me myself through college. So I always had that marketing, you know, itch. I always wanted to do something to do with advertising or marketing. But with college and persuading me into science, I was super sold on neuroscience. And it's such a brand new science. When you look at physics and chemistry and biology, they're old sciences where so much has already been discovered. With the brain, there's so much that has not been discovered. And that's what I really loved about it, the unknown. And I could be at that forefront of science. So I was literally doing brain surgery on rats and mice. I was playing with genetics. It was so much fun. I did that for 6 years. I got published 6 times in different scientific journals. And finally, my husband at the time got a job at Rutgers in New Jersey. And that's what brought us from Vancouver in Canada all the way to Minnesota first and then New Jersey. So we then had our children. And I was at a crossroads when I was going back to work, and I thought, well, let's just, you know, apply for some science jobs. And in New Jersey, we're a dime a dozen here, right? Like, there's lots of pharma in New Jersey, and everybody and their dog has a PhD, and they're all doing science, right? They're all working for some company out here. So I got an opportunity to get back into marketing where I was using my science background, but they wanted someone also to have that business development experience. And so it kind of led me into this hybrid job where I could use both the marketing, which was my interest in the beginning, as well as the science background. I'm extremely data driven, and I run my company now with a data-driven mentality where I'm not pulling ideas from the sky. I'm doing it based on history and based on data. So anyway, I kind of moved my way up the ladder, the corporate ladder in marketing in the oil and gas industry. Then finally, I ended up as vice president of marketing in the IT industry. And I just realized that I wanted to control my own destiny. I was really tossed around because of brands shutting down or bosses dying, or there was so much going on that was a part of my, like, aside from my, or let's say away from, beyond my control, let's say. And I wanted to control my own destiny. So I thought maybe I should start my own agency because I could do it better than my bosses were doing it. I took all the good and the bad and the ugly, and I just thought, you know, I'll take all this positive impact that all these people, these amazing mentors, have been putting in my life, and leaving the bad and kind of putting it all together and doing my own thing. So that's sort of what led me to the passion I have now for helping. At first, it was small businesses that I was helping. I've now moved into the wealth management arena where we're helping financial planners and anybody in the really financial services industry with digital marketing. Our latest service is the Webinar Bee, where if you need to present a webinar, instead of you having all the headaches and everything associated with, you know, lots of time with the logistics and the promotions. We take care of everything. All you do is show up. So that's kind of our latest service. But other than that, we do anything content marketing related, website. We build websites, redesign them for you. We do email marketing, social media, and we edit videos. So that's kind of how I got to where we are now.
Fantastic. And it came full circle, you know, with where it all started from the marketing perspective. And I absolutely love how, you know, you and I both realize that marketing and branding is a mix of art and science. It's a mix of human responses and emotions and feelings, but also, as you mentioned, it's data driven. It's what has worked and what hasn't. So I truly appreciate that. And that's why I wanted to have a conversation with you about leveraging a collaborative work team approach to enhance marketing and PR. You know, it's not always just the responsibility of one person or just the marketing or the PR person. It really takes a village to be consistent with that brand. How does having a unified, consistent messaging based on company vision, mission, and values, how does that allow for more effective branding and marketing delivery?
That's a great question. I feel like every business was born because somebody had a passion to do it. Mm-hmm. And usually their vision and mission statement was built based on that passion. And so when humans like to do business with people, they don't like to do business with businesses. We like to do business with other people. And that's why if you create messaging, marketing messaging based on your vision and based on the personality of the company and the brand, then it's a lot more genuine, it's honest, and people like to do business that way. So I believe that the more consistent you are with carrying the vision message into your marketing, you will be much more consistent in your growth patterns than you will if, A, if you are not consistent, B, if you just pull anything from the sky and say, oh yeah, this sounds good. It has to be based on passion, right? When you're selling anything, and I hate to say the word sell because I feel like that's not what we do anymore. We build relationships, but we tell the story of how our business has got to where it is today. And when you're using those stories to push your products or services, that's when you will get the sparks will fly. People will remember you and they will appreciate the honesty in your messaging. And that comes through your vision and your mission statement.
Absolutely. And a big part of that too is from the consumer's perspective of what's in it for me, you know, what's in it for them. And if you do a good job as a company of painting your mission statement, your vision statement in terms of them, and then everyone on your team understands their role in delivering that service and can speak the same keywords, the same language. You know, there's just a common sense of that branding. It's way easier to deliver versus being disjointed. And this person says it's this, this person says it this.
Yes.
This person talks about themselves. This person talks about the client or the customer or the patient, you know? So it is so important that it's thinking in terms of them, but as a team, and as the marketing and branding leaders of your organization, that unified, consistent messaging and then providing that to your team in a way that's easily digestible and consistent is so crucial.
Yes.
To allow them to demonstrate it while they deliver the service.
Every single team meeting that you have, you should not only remind them of the vision, but or mission statement, but when you are for marketing, you need a value proposition statement. It's almost like that elevator pitch, that 30 second, you're in an elevator with someone, they're like, what do? And you answer that question. If you can have that written down where your value proposition, like who do you reach? What problem are you solving? Like what pain points is that target audience facing? How do you solve that problem and why are you different? If you can say that in 30 seconds and put that in a paragraph, you need to be delivering that content to your entire team so that everybody on the team is describing your offering in the exact same way. and remind them on all of your team meetings, whether you meet weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, depends on how large your teams are. Maybe they're you know, groups of your team. Always be reminded. And if you can, I know a lot of us work virtually these days, have that vision or that value proposition statement up on a wall, physically, not hidden in some file that, you know, in the Google Drive. I'm talking on your wall or on your desk or framed somewhere so that every single day you are reminded of it. And that's the way you are going to ingrain your brand messaging into your internal team, because in the end, they are advocates, right? They are advocates for your brand. And not any one person on your team. The salespeople aren't only the salespeople. Every single person on your team is a salesperson or a relationship builder, and they should know exactly what your company delivers.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that concept of that end result of being an advocate and, you know, what we call raving fans, the customer, the patient, the client. When you're doing this correctly, it's the combination of the messaging and the service delivery, but also the experience of the people receiving the service at the end. And that experience is so crucial, because if you're doing it right, you're going to get them talking about what you do to others. So let's talk about that concept of raving fans. First and foremost, on the outside, what happens from a branding perspective when you're creating those raving fans as the patients you provide care for, as the clients you service, as the people that you serve? When they are raving fans, what are they doing for your business and how are they helping you?
They're acting as salespeople for your team. Free salespeople. In fact, they're usually paying you to spread the word, right? They're spreading the word, plus they are your client or your customer. It is huge, especially in this day and age. I feel like customer service in general and that customer journey, a lot of our stuff is online these days, so you don't even talk with a human, but people still appreciate a good customer experience. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, when this, if you can just spend time making sure that that process is buttoned up, you are going to absolutely create those raving fans, and they talk to family members, they talk to colleagues, they talk to friends about their experiences. Whenever you have a good, and here's another thing, a bad experience is so much worse than just having a mediocre experience, because people tend to leave reviews about negative reviews, right? They're always telling people how bad an experience it was. But if you have a good experience, you don't necessarily write that down and show public and go on social media or go on Google, right? So it's really important for you to implement some sort of strategy where you are asking your customers how they feel. And not only asking them to get that 5-star review rating, but also the 3 stars and the 4-star. How can we improve? Tell us what we can do better, because guess what? You're never in their shoes, because you have so much more knowledge about your brand that you're masked by all of the knowledge you have. So you feel like everyone thinks like you do. It's not true, right? They're experiencing your product or service so much differently than you expect them to. So you really have to ask them, and it's really the only way to do it. The old fashioned way, how do you feel about our product or service? And so I think that don't take that lightly. That should be absolutely part of your marketing strategy, asking people, you know, how they feel about your products, your services, and their experience.
And if we carry those same concepts over internally, because that's my bread and butter, that's my wheelhouse, helping companies, businesses create more of that raving fans feel internally. Let's think about that in parallel with what you were just talking about. So your goal is raving fans of the paying customers, clients, patients, whoever you serve.
Yeah.
Just imagine how much easier it is to deliver that consistently when you have big advocates internally. And if you almost imagine that 5-star rating internally, and you take you gauge the temperature as the leader. You're not just the thermometer, you're the thermostat, and you're gauging that and you're controlling that on your team to try and get more of those 5-star reviews internally so that people will advocate for their teammates. They will advocate for their service as an extension of the marketing plan and the content that's going out there. People see that. You know, the customers see that, the patients see that. They can see when people are enjoying their job or they're going to bat for one another, or if someone's having a difficulty, they see someone come over and help and support without being asked. When those things are happening, it makes it so much easier to create that raving fans on the outside. And people also, from that perspective of they see a team working together at high level, in their head and in their heart makes them feel, oh, they are really caring about what they do. So even if they didn't have the best experience, they know that we as a business did our best to serve them. And that may be the difference between not leaving a review or doing a 3-star and doing a 1-star, where they didn't care about me or I was neglected. You know, so that is so crucial to take the concepts you're talking about from the external raving fans and build a culture and build that workplace camaraderie so that you have that internal raving fans component so you can have a unified brand and message and just experience with what you do.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like your team is your business. Mm-hmm. And a happy team is a happy brand and is a successful brand. I've worked for companies where people are miserable. You are not efficient. You are not productive. Mm-hmm. And you are certainly not an advocate for the brand, right? You're not going out talking about how great your company is. Usually you're complaining about it when you're in those types of toxic environments. So I am a huge advocate. I mean, last year we were pushing the 4-day work week just to keep, you know, our employees happy. They could choose one day of the week. We are all virtual, our team. And so when I implemented the 4-day work week, I found that my employees were so appreciative and they would thank me and they were more productive. They were more efficient, and just giving back a little as an employer to your employees, a little goes a long way. It truly, truly does. You don't have to give the world for somebody to feel that appreciation. And then they are more, if you're kind to them, they are more kind to you. They're happier when they're customer facing. You always have to remember that. Yes. If they're unhappy internally, when they speak to a customer or a client, they're going to be unhappy with them too, right? They don't just put on this facade. Why would they? It's not their business. It's yours, right? So you want them to feel like a family member, really. And that's how I feel like culture is so huge. Even when you're virtual, you still have those relationships. On team meetings, have talks about, you know, what your, like, you know, what you guys did last weekend. Don't just go right to business. Let's talk about your lives. And again, building relationships. You're not only having to do that with your clients, but you also do that internally.
Yes. Because we're all people. And one of the things when I'm working on a coaching call and I'm learning about, you know, with a leader and talking with them, one of my questions I will always typically ask them is, tell me about your people. And I want to see if they can tell me more than just what their job role is or what the different titles are. Like, can you tell me details about the people that you work with so you know who they are as a human so you can connect with them on a deeper level? And that's so, so crucial. And as you saw, you gave that a little bit. You're like, oh man, this might hurt business. You gave it and they actually produced better and they were bought in. And when it comes to a collaborative approach to marketing, that buy-in is crucial. So let's wrap up by talking about how do we get the entire company, or how do we get more than just the marketing person or the marketing team involved collaboratively with marketing initiatives? Why don't you throw a few ideas out there as well? Then I'll do that.
So this is an opportunity where social media comes in, where you can let your team have the opportunity to give their two cents on what's happening in the community, or maybe do a spotlight on your employee on social media. So you're talking about your internal team and how great they are, but that in the end is also creating, you know, it's creating marketing interest, because people are like, oh, there's a happy teammate, you know, so it's good for everybody, but it also gets your team involved. Another thing is doing contests for like blog writing and stuff. So every business can use blogs. Blogs are excellent ways for you to rank higher on Google and improve your SEO. And so there's always the thing, who's going to write the blogs? And usually it's the marketing person or whatever. But when you have the perspective of all of your employees from every, whether they're operations, sales, whether they're HR, whether they're in marketing, it doesn't matter. They all have a great perspective on the business. And so asking, maybe doing a contest and the winner gets, you know, a gift card, or the winner gets a day off or something like that. I've done that before, and it's very effective, and it really gets everybody involved. So those are just a couple ideas.
Absolutely. It's great to highlight the voices. Again, it's not so much about you as like a team. It's more about the customer. However, when the customers know the great people that they're going to do business with, and they can connect with them on a personal level, it just makes those conversations easier out in the community, or in those sales calls, or in those interactions. I've always invested during every company I've ever worked for, nearly 20 years, in building relationships with the marketing and PR people, because I saw it as advocacy. I saw it as, how can I be an advocate for my company, our profession, but then also as I grew into leadership roles, well, then how can I be an advocate for my team and showcase the rock stars that we have, but then also give the marketing team content, give them stuff that connects, because they're in the front line. So we talked earlier about problems are important to highlight. What is the problems of the people that we serve so we can connect with them? One of the great ways to get your entire company involved is engage with them and have them bring back what they're hearing, what they're seeing on the front lines or in phone calls. What objections are you getting? What problems are you facing? Let's bring them back. And then I'm going to go as a leader, work with the marketing team and say, all right, here's a list of problems. Let's create some helpful content to solve these problems so we can be a resource for the listeners, the audience that we have on our social media or an e-blast or something, versus just searching on Google, what are the problems so-and-so faces? You know, yeah. It's real stuff. And then your team feels valued because they're listened to. And then you also go back and you help problem solve collaboratively with your team members to address those problems firsthand. So you get... You kill two birds with one stone.
Yes.
That's so crucial. So in addition to highlighting your team members and showcasing them with blogs or videos or telling their story for special things, contests, you're also engaging them to share their ideas because people want to be heard and they want to know that their pain points are listened to.
Yep.
And getting them involved that way. And then when you actually, if you're a team member and you're the one that gave that idea, and then you see that post go out on LinkedIn or Facebook, hey, that's the one I brought up, you're more likely to share it. You're more likely to engage with it, and you feel pride in that.
Yes.
And so absolutely. If it makes you feel like a part of it, I think those are two really crucial ways to get everybody involved, in addition to just like giving out good swag, you know, having them wear the brand that they can be proud of, getting feedback on tchotchkes and giveaways.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think that people would like versus I'm just going to find something that looks cool?
Yes.
You know, having them and feeling like they have a say is really, really the bottom line, kind of what I'm getting to.
Definitely. And also, marketing can't do it alone. Marketing, there's no way that they can create an effective message to attract new customers without the help of all of the other employees, because the other employees are really in the field. They're the ones who are interacting with the customers. They're the ones knowing, understanding their pain points, like you said earlier. And so marketing, like you said, could Google it and figure it out. Yeah. But when you really hear firsthand from your own customers what they're going through, or your own prospects, like with the salespeople, all the objections that salespeople have when they're trying to sell their services, that's how you refine your message. So without that communication with the rest of your teammates and the rest of the departments, you need that cross-functional teamwork. And that's the only way that you will have a successful marketing message.
And that starts with that culture of openness. Yes. That starts with a clarification. When you hire someone, you bring them on board, they clearly know their role. They clearly know their contributions. And then leaders affirm that and support that so that they can feel like they can contribute. And that's a difference maker. So all great, great stuff, Desiree. Before we get into our final call to action, just a couple things. All the information is in the show notes for how they can reach you. But definitely look up Clarence Services on Facebook and LinkedIn. You can also connect with Desiree on LinkedIn as well. And she's just a fantastic resource. So thank you for taking some time, and all of your contact information will be in the show notes for this episode. One final call to action: when it comes to creating a unified, collaborative team approach to marketing and PR, what is one call to action you want to leave our listeners with that they can take on?
I would say in team meetings, allow them to talk as well instead of just you or instead of just your leadership. Mm-hmm. Ask them questions, get them involved, have them come to the table with ideas rather than you just presenting ideas saying, go run with them. Treat them like you're equal, and then they will be better advocates for your brand because, like you said, they will feel like they have a piece of the pie and, you know, like that they're part of a family. And really at work, that's your second family, right? And so the more you feel involved, the more you're going to give back. And I think that's what you should do. Just get in team meetings, get your employees to be more active and involved. And I need to do the same with mine.
That's right. You heard it here from the Chief Queen Bee herself, Desiree Halleck. It's so great to have you on here. I'm excited for our future collaborations. I know there's going to be some good things that we're going to work on together, and your insights have been super helpful. So thank you for taking some time to be on the Catalyzing Podcast.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.